Hi everyone, this is Darla of Dork. Last night I wanted to read the entire indictment of Donald J. Trump, and I found that there are a lot of websites that will kind of give you the breakdown of what's in it. However, it's good for us to actually read the actual document. So I tried to read the actual document last night. I have had eye surgeries in the past, and so I got to about Section 50 on, trying to read it online. And I found my eyes were getting really tired. And I was also trying to find where could I find it where I could just, well, you know, if you want to have your iPhone read to you, you can highlight text and then you can select speak and it will read it to you. Well, because it was all in these PDFs, I couldn't get it to do that. So I basically had to stop at count 50 because my eyes just couldn't take it. So I thought, well, you know, there's a whole lot of people who are low-sighted who really just need somebody to read things to them. They don't have to be elderly, but a lot of people are elderly. So I just decided today, it's like, I'm going to print it out and I'm just going to read it. So here we go. I got it from, let me give you full disclosure too. I got it from PBS's website. There's a PDF there. That was the easy place, probably the easiest place I could find to print it. Okay, it says, it's case 1:23-CR. -00257-TSC. In the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, United States of America v. Donald J. Trump, defendant. Grand jury original. Let's see, violations. Count 1, :18 U.S.C. 371, conspiracy to defraud the United States. Count 2, :18 U.S.C. 1512, and then in parentheses it has a lowercase k, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. Count 3, :18 U.S.C. 1512, and then parentheses lowercase 2, parentheses number 2, comma, then 2, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. Count 4, :18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against rights. Indictment. The grand jury charges that at all times material to this indictment on or about the dates and at the approximate time stated below. Introduction. 1. The defendant, Donald J. Trump, was the 45th president of the United States and a candidate for re-election in 2020. The defendant lost the 2020 presidential election. 2. Despite having lost, the defendant was determined to remain in power. So for more than 2 months following Election Day on November 3, 2020, the defendant spread lies that there had been outcome determinative fraud in the election and that he had actually won. These claims were false, and the defendant knew that they were false, but the defendant repeated and widely disseminated them anyway to make his knowingly false claims appear legitimate, create an intense national atmosphere of mistrust and anger, and erode public faith in the administration of the election. 3. The defendant had a right, like every American, to speak publicly about the election and even to claim falsely that there had been outcome determinative fraud during the election and that he had won. He was also entitled to formally challenge the results of the election through lawful and appropriate means, such as by seeking recounts or audits of the popular vote in states or filing lawsuits challenging ballots and procedures. Indeed, in many cases, the defendant did pursue these methods of contesting the election results. His efforts to change the outcome in any state through recounts, audits, or legal challenges were uniformly unsuccessful. 4. Shortly after Election Day, the defendant also pursued unlawful means of discounting legitimate votes and subverting the election results. In so doing, the defendant perpetrated 3 criminal conspiracies. A, a conspiracy to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, and deceit to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government in violation of 18 U.S.C. 371. B, a conspiracy to corruptly obstruct and impede the January 6th congressional proceeding at which the collected results of the presidential election are counted and certified. And then it has in parentheses, quote, the certification proceeding, end quote, in parentheses, in violation of 18 U.S.C. 1512, and then in parentheses it has a lowercase k, and C, a conspiracy against the right to vote and to have one's vote counted in violation of 18 U.S.C. 241. Each of these conspiracies, which built on the widespread mistrust the defendant was creating through pervasive and destabilizing lies about election fraud, targeted a bedrock function of the United States federal government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election, the federal government function, which it has in quotes. Count 1, conspiracy to defraud the United States, 18 U.S.C. 371. 5. The allegations continued in paragraphs 1 through 4 of this indictment and are realleged and fully incorporated here by reference. The conspiracy. 6. From on or about November 14, 2020 through on or about January 20, 2021 in the District of Columbia and elsewhere, the defendant, Donald J. Trump, did knowingly combine, conspire, confederate, and agree with co-conspirators known and unknown to the grand jury to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, and deceit to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government. Purpose of the conspiracy. 7. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud to obstruct the federal government function by which those results are collected, counted, and certified. The defendant's co-conspirators. 8. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election and retain power. Among these were A, co-conspirator 1, an attorney who was willing to spread knowingly false claims and pursue strategies that the defendant's 2020 re-election campaign attorneys would not. B, co-conspirator 2, an attorney who devised and attempted to implement a strategy to leverage the vice president's ceremonial role overseeing the certification proceeding to obstruct the certification of the presidential election. C, co-conspirator 3, an attorney whose unfounded claims of election fraud the defendant privately acknowledged to others sounded, quote, crazy. Nonetheless, the defendant embraced and publicly amplified co-conspirator 3's disinformation. D, co-conspirator 4, a Justice Department official who worked on civil matters and who, with the defendant, attempted to use the Justice Department to open sham election crime investigations and influence state legislatures with knowingly false claims of election fraud. E, co-conspirator 5, an attorney who assisted in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. F, co-conspirator 6, a political consultant who helped implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of presidential electors to obstruct the certification proceeding. The federal government function. 9. The federal government function by which the results of the election for President of the United States are collected, counted, and certified was established through the Constitution and the Electoral Count Act, ECA, a federal law enacted in 1887. The Constitution provided that individuals called electors select the president and that each state determined for itself how to appoint the electors apportioned to it. Through state laws, each of the 50 states and the District of Columbia chose to select their electors based on the popular vote in the state. After Election Day, the ECA required each state to formally determine or, quote, ascertain the electors who would represent the state's voters by casting electoral votes on behalf of the candidate who had won the popular vote and required the executive of each state to certify to the federal government the identities of those electors. Then, on a date set by the ECA, each state's ascertained electors were required to meet and collect the results of the presidential election, that is, to cast electoral votes based on their state's popular vote, and to send their electoral votes along with the state executive's certification that they were the state's legitimate electors to the United States Congress to be counted and certified in an official proceeding. Finally, the Constitution and ECA required that on the 6th of January following Election Day, the Congress meet in a joint session for a certification proceeding, presided over by the Vice President as President of the Senate, to count the electoral votes, resolve any objections, and announce the result, thus certifying the winner of the presidential election as President-elect. This federal government function, from the point of ascertainment to the certification, is foundational to the United States' democratic process and until 2021 had operated in a peaceful and orderly manner for more than 130 years. Manner and means. The defendant, number 10, the defendant's conspiracy to impair, obstruct, and defeat the federal government function through dishonesty, fraud, and deceit included the following manner and means. A. The defendant and co-conspirators used knowingly false claims of election fraud to get state legislators and election officials to subvert the legitimate election results and change electoral votes for the defendant's opponent, Joseph R. Biden Jr., to electoral votes for the defendant. That is, on the pretext of baseless fraud claims, the defendant pushed officials in certain states to ignore the popular vote, disenfranchise millions of voters, dismiss legitimate electors, and ultimately cause the ascertainment of and voting by illegitimate electors in favor of the defendant. B. The defendant and co-conspirators organized fraudulent slates of electors in seven targeted states, parentheses, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, parentheses closed, attempting to mimic the procedures that the legitimate electors were supposed to follow under the Constitution and other federal and state laws. This included causing the fraudulent electors to meet on the day appointed by federal law on which legitimate electors were to gather and cast their votes, cast fraudulent votes for the defendant, and sign certificates falsely representing that they were legitimate electors. Some fraudulent electors were tricked into participating based on the understanding that their votes would be used only if the defendant succeeded in outcome determinative lawsuits within their state, which the defendant never did. The defendant and co-conspirators then caused these fraudulent electors to transmit their false certificates to the vice president and other government officials to be counted at the certification proceeding on January 6th. The defendant and co-conspirators attempted to use the power and authority of the Justice Department to conduct sham election crime investigations and send a letter to the targeted states that falsely claimed that the Justice Department had identified significant concerns that may have impacted the election outcome, that sought to advance the defendant's fraudulent elector plan by using the Justice Department's authority to falsely present the fraudulent electors as valid alternative to the legitimate electors, and that urged on behalf of the Justice Department the targeted states' legislatures to convene to create the opportunity to choose the fraudulent electors over the legitimate electors.